Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We are happy that you're listening to the messages given by Dr. John Neufeld on the series The Time of Your Life. Today's message is taken from Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 to 17 entitled Don't Waste Your Time. Let us read from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So let's join Dr. John Neufeld now.
Now, when we came out of darkness into light, our dissatisfaction in life was replaced by gratefulness to a God who loves us, to a God who gave His Son for us, cleansed us from our sins, adopted us into His family, watched over our life. And now crude language gets replaced by the language of worship and of adoration, of joy, of abundant thankfulness. Of course, the point is this. Remember how you used to spend your time back in the bad old days? And now consider how you're spending your time now. And when you pay attention to the marked contrast between the profound emptiness that once made up your days and compare that to the fullness of gratefulness to God that you now have for all that God has provided, how does that look? And Paul says, observe that carefully. And don't you think it will make a difference in how you spend your time? Now think back to the New Year's resolutions that a lot of people make. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a resolution that says, I'm going to lose 15 pounds this year. But what if that resolution comes out of a spirit of deep dissatisfaction with your body style? I mean, there are so many others that are way more attractive than you are on any public beach. And the entire reason for that resolution is taken up in what? A deeply discontented spirit, a spirit of dissatisfaction, and that drives your use of time. And this is the point. So many of us use our time out of a spirit of poverty, out of a deep sense of unhappiness, rather than a rich rejoicing of the fullness that has been given to us in Christ. See, that's so important for us to see. Now, I ride a motorcycle, and one day I parked it next to a coffee shop on the beach, and I put my money in the meter, and I went in, and I got a cup of coffee and brought it back outside, and it was a beautiful summer's day. I sat out on a chair outside the coffee shop looking at the beach and staring at my bike, and because one motorcycle doesn't use up the entire parking spot, another biker soon pulled up, and the guy asked if he could share my stall, and I simply nodded. He pulled in and beside me. And soon he was back out of the coffee shop with a cup of coffee in his own hand, and he sat down beside me. We began to talk. And I told him it was a nice day, and it was a nice bike as well. And he thanked me, and he said, I had to get out on a day like today. He said, look, we live in Canada, and we don't get enough of these great days. So if we get one, he said, we'd better make use of it. And he said, because after all, time is short. And I looked at him for a while, and I told him this, I thought he meant that we only have a limited amount of days. And because our days are limited, we should ride our motorcycles as much as we could before we died. And he nodded and he said, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. And I said, here's what I think. I think we're going to live for eternity. And since that's so, we should use our time now to prepare for that. And whatever best prepares us for eternity is the best possible use of time. And anything else, I think, is a waste. And in an instant, our conversation changed. See, he and I had much to talk about, and it was the difference between how one sees life and time outside of Christ and how one sees life and time in Christ once one has encountered Christ. There is a disparity between those two worldviews. He was viewing time as the stuff that was slipping away from him, and in his desperation, he wanted to make sure that he got enough rides in. And I saw time as an investment into eternity. And Paul's not asking us to get out a day timer and keep track of the seconds. I mean, that would be silly. Rather, he's asking us to look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. See, we've noticed that if we're going to use time well, we're going to have to become observant as just to how different our entire focus is. Now that we're in Christ, things are new. And that leads to Paul's second point. If you notice, Paul says, look carefully then how you walk. Another way of saying that is we need to see our life as a journey. See, this idea of walking is how Paul portrays life. It's repeated, by the way, 5 times in the book of Ephesians. We're going to look at all of them, but let's look at the first 2 uses of the word walk in this book. The first time is found in Ephesians 2, verse 2. There Paul says, before believers knew Christ, they were dead in trespasses and sins, in which he says, in which you once walked. Now, that's a very powerful image. I mean, I get the picture of all these zombie movies that are so popular these days. These are people who are the walking dead. Now, I don't actually understand these movies, and I don't understand why it's exciting for some people to see depicted, you know, people shooting dead people in the head and stabbing dead people in the head and all the kind of stuff that gets happening in these movies. I mean, by the way, if you're a psychology major, I mean, that's a worthwhile project to find out why this fascination with that. But let's get back to Paul's image of dead men walking. Now, of course, when we were outside of Christ, we were not zombies because we were not physically dead. Before we knew Christ, our bodies were very much alive. So was our intellect, so was our imagination, our ability to carry on relationships, our ability to love, our ability to hate, our ability to create and destroy. All of this was very much alive. We do well to remember that all people, believers and non-believers, are actually created in the image of God. And as such, we are endowed with worth and great potential, and we all can celebrate this precious gift that we call life. See, that's not what Paul has in mind. When he says we were dead, he means dead in sins, or he means we were dead in our ability to cease our life of sin, or we were unable to cease sinning, or then dead in our ability to cease following Satan, or to cease following the world, dead in our ability to love God, please God, find in God our reason for joy. That's how we were dead. There is a deadness that is inside of us before we knew Christ, and that deadness exists in everyone outside of Christ today. Now, walking means making progress. So as time goes by, our attachment to the world, that is, if we're outside of Christ, our attachment to the flesh, our attachment to the devil becomes more pronounced. We progress in our rebellion to God. It's a progress we make all the days of our physical life. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't be gracious and kind and considerate of elderly people and everything else that makes up the life of all manner of people, even non-believers. Remember, we're speaking about being dead in making progress towards God. That's the first time Paul uses the term walk. Now, here's the second use of walk in Ephesians. It's found in chapter 2, verse 10. Here's the contrast for believers. Paul says, for we, believers, are God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're now progressing in the good works God has made for us, being more joyful, loving, kind, good in service to Him that we render to our King. So in Ephesians 5, Paul says, observe carefully how you're making progress. Are you making progress in things that please God, or are you regressing? That's the point. What has all this got to do with the use of time? And I want you to get a sense of the image Paul is giving us. Our life does not consist in a second-by-second inventory of the use of time, as interesting and as helpful as that image might seem. Rather, it consists of a walk, or if you will, a pilgrimage that is taking us somewhere. In other words, don't think of your life as a repetition of events. You know, the alarm rings at 6, you go to the bathroom, you shave, you shower, you eat breakfast, you brush your teeth, you get into the car, you commute to work or to school, and you get home and you have supper, maybe you watch TV, you quickly read your Bible, you fall asleep, repeat the same formula 4 more days, take a 2-day break, repeat again. Rather, than seeing our life as this repeated pattern. We should see our life as a journey, a walk. See, we're on the way to a celestial city. And on the way, we need to learn to make progress in a view that pleases God, fills our heart with profound gratefulness to what God has given us. Learn to use our time to progress as children of light. Learn the secrets of profound thanksgiving in all things. See God's hand always at work. Examine this matter with the utmost clarity. Be careful exactly how you live.
Thank you very much, Dr. John, for that meaningful message that helps us to understand the value of time. It is indeed such a blessing to realize that the time is a very precious commodity and it has to be used wisely. Join us again for tomorrow as Dr. John takes us through the series entitled The Time of Your Life on the topic The Wisdom and the Use of Your Time. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. The Bible contains many passages about the topic of wisdom. Here are a few examples. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." Or how about Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 12 says, "For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money, and the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it." Wisdom is a critically important issue for all believers to understand and apply it. Hopefully, you have had a chance to listen to Dr. Neufeld's recent series on the subject called Skillful Living, focusing on Proverbs, known as wisdom literature. We learned all about what it means to live a wise and godly life. This great series is available on CD for our valuable listeners. To receive it, call us at 9492440070 or email at info@backtothebible.in.